we are starting a new series today in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're calling this Seeing the Invisible. Would you say that with me? Seeing the Invisible. Come on, Maddie Perales. Seeing the Invisible. Okay, you got your mask on. Maybe you were saying it. Seeing the Invisible is actually a phrase from Hebrews chapter 11. But we're going to be in this for several weeks. I invite you to like be reading along, studying this chapter as we go. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter. It's like where we see the heroes of our faith, you know, like just announced and celebrated. And in fact, there are 18 different Old Testament leaders that are mentioned there that are like heroes of the faith. 18 of them, men and women, including a prostitute. The whole nation of Israel is included. The prophets are included, as well as people who were tortured and martyred for their faith. So many people are just highlighted in this chapter that we're going to be going through. In Hebrews chapter 11, because it is so focused on faith, right? So focused on faith that most often when people are like, say, I want to know about faith, this is where they turn. And so this is where we're going to be over about the next 6 weeks. And I really encourage you to be here with us for the series and to be in the Word and studying it along with us as we go. Today, we're kicking off with the first section, Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1 through 6. Would you read this out loud along with me? Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is or what was visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Though this scripture has much to do with faith, we're going to see the kind of the intricacies. We're going to like take the engine apart of faith during this several-week series and really be looking at what faith is all about. And though this was written long ago, I think we're going to see that what is shared here speaks right to our lives and our situations today. We're going to see what faith looks like, what faith feels like, what it sounds like, how it works in our lives. We're going to see what faith requires of us and how God rewards those who are faithful and pursue and seek him. So we're going to dive in right now, starting with verse 1. It's such an important introduction to this whole topic of faith. And so would you read it again? Read it aloud with me. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Interesting, interesting words. So we're going to look at this in two ways this morning. We're going to look at what faith is, and we're also going to look then, what is our faith based upon? What is our faith based on? So first, let's look at the two things that it says here in verse 1 that faith is. You can go ahead and put it back up on the screen. There you go. Now, faith is what? Confidence. It's confidence. And then it says, and faith is assurance. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confident assurance. A confident faith is one that is built on the unshakable foundation of Jesus himself. It's not having like confidence in confidence, right? I've made up my mind and you can't change it. Like, I'm confident in my own confidence. That's not what this type of confidence is talking about here. A confident faith is having this unwavering trust, not in ourselves, not in our ability to hold on tight to something. It's an unwavering trust in Jesus. Listen, we're going to face all kinds of things in life that are going to tempt us to waver, tempt us to swerve, to like veer off of this confident trust in Jesus. But faith is holding confident in even in the face of those things. In fact, if we back up for a moment and look at a verse that precedes Hebrews chapter 11. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. In fact, you may remember that this scripture right here, this scripture is actually one. Hey, Damon, you're going to have to take that call outside, bro, unless it's from Jesus. And if it's from Jesus, then you bring me your phone. Okay, because I want to hear what he's got to say. So listen, Hebrews 10, 23 is in some ways, it's like an introductory verse to Hebrews chapter 11. There are five different thoughts in Hebrews 10, 23, and each one of those thoughts, wow, I feel like I'm in Las Vegas. All right. If you're online, welcome to the party. All right, Hebrews 10, 23. There are five different thoughts in this verse, and it's like each one of these five different thoughts is almost like an introductory prelude to what we then explore in more detail in Hebrews chapter 11. Like if you go to a book and you look at the table of contents, right, and you see, oh, this is what I'm going to be reading in the book, Hebrews 10:23 is almost like the table of contents for all of Hebrews chapter 11. When I came across Hebrews 10:23 just many years ago in my study in this section, this actually became my life verse. Still is today. I love this verse because it is so rich and contains so much just power and truth. Hebrews 10:23 says this. It says, let us hold unswervingly. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, like, confidence? Like, faith is confidence. That unwavering, unswerving trust, not in myself, but in the Lord. Listen, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Praise the Lord. So we did this entire series on that one verse a couple of years back. You can go online and find it. A series called How Faith Works. I think you might enjoy that as well. Go back and listen to that even as we're studying Hebrews chapter 11. But we're here, we're encouraged to hold unswervingly to the hope we have in God. That's the kind of faith we're talking about here. One that is so confident in Jesus that even when we face frightening situations, things in our lives that we encounter that may cause us to like want to waver or swerve, that we remain confident in Jesus himself. My trust in everything else, including myself, may be wavering. But my trust in Jesus is unwavering. That is a confident faith. Now, listen, we're also told that faith is not just confidence, but it's assurance. Assurance. Are you sure about that? Are you sure? Are you sure that God is who he says he is? Are you sure about what God has spoken? That's what it's getting at when it says that faith is assurance. It's being sure. Yes, I'm sure. I am sure because of, not because of my faithfulness, not because of my goodness, but because of his. I am sure because of his faithfulness, because of his love, because of his sacrifice, because of all that he's done for me. I can be sure of who he is and what he has done and said. I can be sure. My mom, Arlen, who many of you have met, moved here to Santa Maria earlier this summer, and just about a week ago, she turned 85 years old. She's an amazing woman of God. And she is a woman who I believe exhibits this kind of confident assurance. And it was a handful of years ago that my mom faced cancer and beat cancer. It was amazing. But guess what? That cancer has come back. And now she's facing this new battle. But you know what? All along the way, not only back then, several years ago, when she first faced cancer, she has always had these declarations that she has stated when we've talked to her, when kids have come around, Mom, how are you doing? She is always like, listen, cancer is just cancer. God is greater than that. My days are in his hands. And she's made this declaration, not just about cancer, but when COVID was first coming around, we're like, Mom, how are you doing? Are you okay? You know, are you concerned about getting COVID? And she's like, listen, if COVID takes me out, I know where I'm going. If cancer takes me out, I know where I'm going. Now listen, no one wants to live through those things. But what I hear echoed in my mom's statements and the way she lives her life is that it is an example of this confident assurance. It's not living like with our head in the sand, like, oh, problems aren't real and conflict isn't really happening in our world, or you know, just kind of trying to look at life through these rose-colored glasses and like saying that everything is okay, you know. No, we face real things. We just know, and we have a confident assurance in our faith that God is greater. That God is greater than anything we face, and that one day he is going to take us by the hand and transition us from this temporary life into eternal life. So we have this hope, we have this promise that life on this earth is not all that there is. And that is part of our reward, part of our blessing that we get to live in. And it's what we have this confident assurance about. So if faith is this confident assurance, what is faith based on? I said we're going to look at two things. What faith is, it's this confident assurance. But what is it based on? In other words, what are people of faith so sure about? What are they so sure about? So I want to turn back to Hebrews 11:1 because it tells us right in there what we're supposed to be confident in and what we're supposed to be assured of. Okay, so let's go back to Hebrews 11:1 and listen to what it says. Now, faith is confidence in what? What we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. What? What kind of crazy talk is this? Am I supposed to have this confident assurance in an invisible hope? I mean, this sounds like pixie dust. You know, like the stuff of fairy tales and make-believe. It's like, how can these things, an invisible hope, ever lead to a life of faith? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. So let's kind of unpack these. First, it says that we're to have confidence in what we hope for. In what we hope for. Hope is this amazingly deep and rich theme that is woven throughout Scripture, and particularly throughout the New Testament. We see one thing in particular kind of every time, just about, we see this theme of hope. It is always tied to the promises of God, to their fulfillment. As followers of Jesus, what do we hope on? What is our hope based on? And again, I want to go back to that little introductory scripture of Hebrews 10:23, and let's look at it again one more time. Check this out. Hebrews 10:23 says this: let us hold unswervingly to this hope that we profess. And then we have to ask the question, well, why? Why would I hold with this confident assurance, right? Why would I do that? And then there's the word for. In other words, because. I'm going to tell you right here why we would hold unswervingly. For he who did what? Come on, I need everybody. This side, everybody. For he who promised is faithful. It's why we hold unswervingly to this hope. This invisible hope, something that I can't like always see with my eyes, that I can't reach out necessarily and just grab a hold of. Like when Jesus was physically present on earth and he, you know, his disciples could touch him. He could touch him. We don't have that luxury. We live in 2021. It's an invisible hope. But why can we say, I have a confident hope, a confident assurance in this hope? Why can we say that? Because we have the promises of a faithful God. In fact, I would even go so far to say, where there is no promise, there is no hope. Where there is no promise, there's no hope. It's like when you fell in love with someone and that someone, right, asked you to engage in the holy act of matrimony with them. Like, would you marry me? Right? In there is contained a promise. It's what we do when we stand up right in front of God and the congregation during a marriage ceremony. What do? We give our vows to each other. There is this promise that we make, right? For better, for worse, I'm going to be there for you. My love is real and it is enduring. Because of that promise, right, we can have hope. We can have hope that, wow, this relationship is awesome and is going to be blessed, and we can thrive in this because of the promise. And listen, when that promise begins to be shaken, and life will shake those things in our human relationships, won't it? Troubles come. We have to press on through. But you know what will give us hope even in the darkest of days? Right? Looking down and seeing that ring and remembering, oh my goodness, we made vows to each other. We made promises. Where there is no promise, there's no hope. Where there's no promise, there's no hope. But because God, who promised, is faithful. Completely faithful. Completely true to who he is. He's the God who cannot lie. And what he has done, everything that he's done is good and is for our benefit. Because of that, and when we hear his promise, guess what it should do? explode hope in our hearts and in our lives. We have hope, which is the core of our faith, because the Almighty God of the universe has given us his unfailing promise. Life in him through Jesus himself. We have that promise. Life in God through Jesus. Listen to Peter. This is one of Jesus' closest followers. Listen to him talk about the importance to God's people of God's promises. It's found in the 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Listen to what Peter says. He says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Now listen to this. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us what? Great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. These are the promises that enable us, right, to actually come to faith, to actually have the hope that we're going to hold unswervingly to. These promises are what enables us to have this hope emerge in our heart where we didn't have hope before, where we used to be hopeless. His promise comes in, and all of a sudden, I now have hope. And I'm going to lock onto that with a confident assurance that even when stuff goes wrong in my life, or, you know, right, becomes really tough, and I face those enemies again of addiction, when I hear those voices that would call me to a less noble path, that would cause me to want to swerve, I'm like, no. I'm locking on with confident assurance to this hope that we have. So, what is our faith based on? In what we hope for. The fulfillment of the promises of a faithful God. But then it also says this thing that just blows me away. And it's like what we've titled this whole series on, Seeing the Invisible. Because it also says that not only is our faith based on what we hope for, but it says our faith is based on what is invisible. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of what we do not see. Listen, how can we be sure about something we don't see? Well, there's actually a lot of examples in life about that. There's a lot of things that we know are real that we can't see. How about a virus, right? Anybody realize that there's a virus out there? It's real. It's real. Can't see it. It's real. There's a lot of things that we know are real. We can be sure about it. One of the examples that I find fascinating about things that are real that we can't see, we can be sure about, is when we talk about light, right? Everything that we see. Light, that when we use that word, we're usually talking about what we can see with the human eye. But light is only one tiny little sliver of the entire electromagnetic spectrum. It's big, like these waves, right? These electromagnetic waves are they're very comprehensive. We only talk about light being this little tiny sliver of what we can see. Check out on this little graph right here. You see the electromagnetic spectrum. Right there, that little rainbow, that little slice. That's all that we can see. All the rest of those waves are real as can be. You can be sure, right, that they're real. They're invisible. So on the left, you've got like gamma rays and X-rays. Down on the right-hand side is, you know, microwaves and radio waves. And those things are real. You can go and turn on the radio, right? Because these waves are real. Can't see them. You can go and get an x-ray. You can go home and heat up your lunch in the microwave. Because those waves are real, part of the electromagnetic spectrum. Can't see them. But can you be sure that they're real? Mm-hmm. We can verify it lots of different ways. You can be sure they're real, even though they're invisible to us. And with God, we can be sure about who he is and everything that he said. We can have a confident assurance. We can be sure about God's love. We can be sure about it. Can you see it? No, but have you felt it? Have you felt his embrace? Have you felt his passion for you? Have you experienced it? You can know that it's real. How about his forgiveness? Can't see his forgiveness. I mean, we have images. The cross right up here behind me is that symbol of him going to the cross to shed his blood that we might be forgiven. But you can't see forgiveness, right? Can't see it. But it's real. You can be sure of it. His salvation, right? Not only am I forgiven, but I'm saved a new life. I have new life. I am a new creation in him. I can't like look in the mirror and see a new me. But I'll tell you what, being that new creation is just as real as if I had this physical transformation. God's presence most of the time, unless there's some vision, like we don't see him, but man, we can know his presence. He's here. Jesus promised that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is here. Do you see what's invisible? The peace of God that we experience even in times of real trouble and challenge, facing COVID, facing cancer, and having this peace of God that comes over us. The invisible peace that's so extraordinarily real. Eternal life that we know is coming. We know, we're sure that it's there. Can't see it on this side of eternity, but we know it's real, even though it's invisible. All of these things are invisible, but we can be sure of them. We don't see them with our natural eyes, but we experience the revelation that God will bring. You see, because God is the revealer. He longs to show things to those who seek him, to show them. Maybe not with physical eyes, but to show and reveal them to us just the same. Love how Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First, he starts by quoting the prophet Isaiah. Listen to what Paul says about God the revealer. He's quoting Isaiah first here. He says, "No eye has seen." What? Oh, it's invisible. "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has even imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." That's quoting Isaiah saying, guess what? There are invisible things that would blow your freaking mind. If you could even, you can't even imagine how great the things God has for you. But now listen to what Paul goes on and says. He says, but, whoa, they were invisible, right? But it was to us that God did what? Revealed. But it was to us that God revealed these things, these invisible, unimaginable things. God revealed them to us. These things were revealed to us by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and does what? Shows us God's deep secrets. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know, so that we can know. You guys, we don't have to like wonder or think about like this hope that we have is like some wishy-washy thing that like, I don't know, is it pixie dust? Is it a fairy tale? No, we can know with a confident assurance because of the Spirit that he has given us. We can know the wonderful things God has freely given us because God is the revealer. Revelation, as God reveals things to us, is different than seeing with our physical eyes. It's different. When God reveals something, we may not see it with our physical eyes, but we come to know it and understand it. So we might say something like, oh, I see. I see, right? It's like when you're in math class and like, oh man, I cannot get this problem. And then all of a sudden it's explained to you in a way that you do understand. It's revealed and all of a sudden, oh, I see. Now I understand. Now I know. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is a great teacher. God is a great revealer. He's not into hiding stuff, but guess what? I think he's operating on just a little different wavelength. We only see this tiny bit of reality. Maybe God is just boop, right over here in just a little different wavelength, invisible to us with our naked eyes. But then he shows up and reveals himself to us in beautiful, beautiful ways. But listen, there's also a warning that comes, and this is said and spoken different ways throughout all of Scripture about people who refuse to see. One of those came through the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 42, Isaiah is speaking on behalf of the Lord, and he was speaking to the nation of Israel, but it echoes right down to us today as well. In Isaiah 42, starting in verse 18, he says, listen, you who are deaf, look and see, you blind. Who is as blind as my own people? My servant. Who is as deaf as my messenger? Because that's what Israel was, right? They were to be a servant and the messenger to be a blessing to the whole world. Who is as blind as my chosen people? The servant of the Lord. You see and recognize what is right, but refuse to act on it. You hear with your ears, but you don't really listen. Listen, God is the great revealer, but sometimes because of the hardness of our own heart, like we refuse to see what he's showing. We refuse to hear the truth of what is spoken. Sometimes because of the hardness of our heart, and sometimes it's because, well, frankly, we're overwhelmed with stuff. When we think about the past couple of years, right? And we think about all the traumas that we've witnessed and all of the heartache globally that still is kind of being perpetuated even today, and man, there's struggles going on. And sometimes just because of our own weariness, it's hard to like lift our eyes once again and say, God, can I see what you're doing? God, I want to see you. I don't want to miss what you are doing in this moment. So we have these warnings. Listen, I'm revealing myself to you. Don't miss it. Don't turn a blind eye to those things that I want to reveal to you. Don't turn a deaf ear. to my word for you. Faith is opening our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our spirit, to who God is, to what he has said and done. This opening section, we're going to conclude right now with this final statement because it's so important. It's in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to close with this. Because he wraps up this first little introductory statement with this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Like, just because you can't see him, right? He's on a little different wavelength than you and I. Operating right outside of our ability to see. Oh, I see you, God. I see you there. But because he's operating outside of that, there comes this thing called faith. And we see a couple of things here in this scripture. Number one, you can't be in God's favor if you refuse to acknowledge that he's real. That kind of makes sense. We can't be in God's favor, receive his reward, his blessing, if we won't acknowledge, God, you're real. I may not see everything about you yet. I may even have doubts about how all this works. And that's okay, folks. Faith is not the absence of all doubt. It's not the absence of all question. But it's still having this assurance. God, I don't know everything, but I'm sure that you're real. We can't be in God's favor if we refuse to acknowledge his existence. And the other thing it says, you can't be in God's favor if you refuse to trust that he's good and that he wants to bless you. He's real and he's good. He wants to bless you. I'm going to do something I don't do very often, but I'm going to rewrite that scripture for you. This is Pastor Tim's paraphrase. And that's okay to do, to take scripture and kind of put it in your own words. What I'm going to show you here is, I'm just saying, it first said, you know, you can't please God without faith. I'm going to just turn it into the positive statements right here because I want you to see the heart of God for you. This is my version. With faith, you can please God. Man, some of you may have wondered, like, man, is it even possible to please God? Can I, like, please him? Because my life has been a train wreck. Or maybe it's not been a train wreck, but it's like, yeah, you wouldn't want to know the hidden secret things that are going on in my mind, in my life. On my web browser. God's saying, you know what? You can please me. With faith, you can please God. Just live assured that God is real and that he's waiting. He's waiting to bless you when you run after him. When you turn to him, that's repentance, right? Turning from old stuff, turning to him, it's repentance. Man, and then when we start to just pursue him, he's waiting to bless us. He's waiting to bless you, Vernon. Jenny Grace, he's waiting to bless you. He's real. He's waiting to bless you. Patricia, he's real, and he's waiting to bless you. Maria, he's real, and he's waiting to bless you. I don't know who needs to hear that today. But that's what God's word says. You can please him. How? By living a life of faith. beginning to say, God, I think I can see. I'm starting to see what I haven't seen before. Seeing your love. Seeing that in you I can not only have forgiveness, but I can have new life. And that I can have a hope for eternal life that sure beats this life of hardship, sometimes heartache, that we live in here and now. So friends, would you just pray with me? Let's turn our eyes to the invisible God. Let's turn our eyes to him. Let's turn our hearts to him with a confident assurance that he's real and that he wants to bless you. Jesus, we are amazed, Lord, that God, that you would trust us with your revelation, that you are the revealer to us. And so God, when you reveal, we can either harden our hearts, be blind and deaf and unresponsive to you, or God, when you reveal, we can respond. When you reveal, we can respond, and that's that life of faith. Hearing what you've promised and allowing hope to emerge, to allow hope to rise up where there's been hopelessness. And God, I don't know all the situations that are contained within this room, within the courtyard, with all of those who are joining us online or through our podcast. But God, you know what has been going on. You know these stories inside and out. And God, I know that you want to breathe hope into people's hearts today with a reminder that you are real. You are faithful, that you have promised. And then now you want to bless. So Jesus, we turn from having hard hearts and blind eyes. And God, we commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to pursuing you and receiving your blessing. I'm going to have our prayer team come to the front. Just come right on up, guys. Thank you. Before you leave today, man, if you need new hope, I want you to come and say, hey, would you pray for me? Would you come and minister something of God's truth and grace to me? And if you have never opened up your life to Jesus, but today something about this word kind of spoke to your heart, that he is real and that he longs to bless you, and you're like, man, I want to open my life to that God, then would you come and would you pray with one of these leaders up here and just make your life open and available? And I know that you are going to receive something beautiful of God's grace and his love for you today. Hey, can't wait to get back into this. Not next Sunday, because next Sunday is Noche and Familia Day. We're going to have a special and unique message. But man, 2 weeks, we're going to be right back here in Hebrews chapter 11. But next week is going to be so special and beautiful for our church family. Please don't miss out, either at 9:30 a.m., because we're going to have this amazing bilingual time together as we join our two congregations together and focus on God's love, not just for us, but for our neighbors. And then we're joining back together from 5 to 8 p.m., right, to love on our neighbors through this amazing block party, Noche and Familia. And man, don't miss out on what's going to take place next Sunday night, Halloween night. It's going to just be so special. And don't just come, though. Come and serve. And we do need some more help with Team B, which is like the second half of the event, right? From 6:30 to 8:30. Man, your help is really needed. And so Sergio is going to be out in the courtyard ready to say, hey, I'd love for you to sign up. So come and receive ministry. And then also don't forget, as you're going out in the courtyard, to sign up, especially for Team B, is where we need most help right now. And church, your love, we're going to see you again next Sunday morning. Have a great week.